Amen. What you see up there, three of those A's, the ones that's not italics, I've been talking on and off all day, all year about it. We started 2020 with the words focus and clarity. And what the Lord was doing was increasing His authority upon us so that we could be an ark of the covenant with Him, His presence, so that we could be an ark of safety like the ark of Noah's Ark. In August, but I didn't use those same words. In August, when I went to speak at Living Word Church, their fasting and prayer week, I said, the Lord just showed, okay, this is what you've been saying all year. Get in alignment so that I can increase your authority, so that you can be an ark of my presence, so that you can carry my presence. There's two arks in the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized His presence, and then the Ark of the Ark, Noah's Ark, which was an ark of safety. And that's what He's doing. We've talked about this on and off during the year. And but in August, I put a little bit more, it came clear, alignment, authority, and ark. And so I spoke on that at the Living Word Church Conference. And then in September, after the Jewish New Year started. We're in the Jewish New Year now, 5781. We're on the Gregorian calendar, which means January 1st is 2021. But in God's timing, He's a Jew, and He's on the Jewish calendar. And a lot of times you'll see things shift around September, Rosh Hashanah, and you'll get new words and you'll get new things. But that's because when that's His year starts. It's not a big deal, but I have noticed that. And I was September, it just crossed over Rosh Hashanah. I was speaking at John David Kirby's conference in Arkansas. And then as I was getting up to speak, I was going to speak on alignment, authority, and ark. That's what the Lord's doing. As I got up to speak, the Lord said, don't you just love it when He does stuff at the last moment? He says there's a fourth A, and it's starting now in 2021. And I'm going to start handing out assignments to those who have been aligned, and I've increased His authority on you, assignments to help bring His ark. So what you see is in italics is, I believe, at least for our congregation and for where I speak, the word for 2021. He's going to put us on assignment. Now, before I talk about assignment, we're not even going to get to it today. That was the big picture. We're going to back up, and I'm going to review these other three A's because I've never presented them quite this way here so that we're all on the same thing. I cannot, what God is doing right now and has been doing for a long time, but has increased in 2021. Do you mind turning these lights down just a little bit? Man, they are brighter than normal. When I look at people, I just see little stars over their head. And I could be spiritual and say that's an angel, but it's not. It's bouncing off my contacts. When I was at Living Word, I loved Living Word. When I was speaking a Sunday, another time in September, the lights were, there's about maybe 150 people. The lights were so bright, I could not even see the front row. Because they turned it down over the whole place, and I felt, okay, maybe this is what a rock star would feel like if they're a rock on a stage, you know. You got, and but I did not like it. I like to look at people. But what God has been doing is perfectly positioning His people for His purpose. And He's been doing that. And this alignment, we started out in 2020 saying we're going to get clarity and we're going to get focus. And what He's doing is aligning us. And what He's wanting to do, what He's been doing for those that are listening in 2020, and this is key, we've got to do this first phase before any of these other three A's happen. It is a requirement to be perfectly aligned with Him. Not Him aligned with us, not Him blessing us, but us doing a deep dive in our spirit and say, Father, where am I not aligned with You perfectly? Each of us, it's going to be different areas, but I'm talking spirit, soul, and body. I don't, this is a crude example, but it works. On the Monday that I went into the hospital, I had gained, 12 pounds in 14 days, which is not normal. I mean, you can't even eat that much. And something was just not, the fatigue was off the scale, and I just kept pressing through. We had a doctor's appointment in a week to try to figure it out. But on that Monday, when we went to the ER, like 3 hours before I went to the ER, I turned to Susan, and it was for that particular thing, but it's also for the body, spiritual body. I turned to her and I said, there is something not rightly aligned in my body. And, of course, ended up being that the small intestine was twisted and was not rightly aligned. I'm here to tell you, though, that this is for all of us in here. All of us in here, we're on a path of just finding out God the best that we know how and rightly aligned. And I think we've been doing that, and it's good. And we have to realize what he's doing is he is bringing his kingdom into the earth. And it's coming with us or without us. Let me back up. He's coming with us because it says in Psalms, the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. He has to have agreement with man to do his will on earth. But if we don't agree with him, he moves on and finds another person / person / another group to give him permission to move. So you work that out sovereignly, okay? His sovereignty. But he is doing that. And we've got this banner on the left. He is raising up a spiritual army, special forces, as you may call it, that are skilled, tenacious, and passionate. And so I'm speaking to the choir here, but I do want to press in on this because this is a big deal. Most of what I may be talking about today may apply to you. I'm sure it does some. But it's also going to apply to the church as a whole with a capital C. The whole COVID-19 stuff, the chaos in the streets, the uncertainty, God did not cause this, okay? But he has allowed it. We need to see from the perspective of heaven. He has allowed these things, like he said, no pain is wasted. He has allowed the unemployment and the depression. We may think it's about this political category or that political category. It is not. He has been trying to wake up the sleeping evangelical church. And what I mean by the evangelical church, we got the church in America, people that show up. Maybe they're saved, maybe they're not. That's between them and God. The evangelical church is a subset. You might have heard it in the news. These are ones that say salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And they believe in the Bible as the Word of God. It, unfortunately, is a subset of what we categorize as Christianity. I think that's probably Christianity, and the others, I don't know what it is. But he has been trying and have been upping the game all year long, allowing these things to happen, for Christians to wake up out of their convenience, out of their comfort, out of their safety net, and say, Father, maybe even for the first time in their life since they got saved, what is going on and what do you want me to do or change? Before COVID, it was obvious for me. I was watching from this perspective. The church was not awake. We were still happy to do our duty on the weekend and show up here or there. But what I'm not trying to get people to do things, but he is calling forth a bride. I'm telling you, his end goal is a group of Christians that are full of purpose, power, purity. It's called a pure bride in the Bible that can walk with him and in partner with him. That's where the assignments come in. And partner with him in what he is doing in the earth. If you have been following any type of Christianity news, like a tsunami, Christianity is washing over Asia. It is washing over Brazil and parts of South America. It is washing over Africa. Some of the lowest projections are 170,000 people are coming to know God every single day. And these aren't people that are content to show up on church on Sunday. They are saying, I give my all, everything I have, everything I do to Him, and I align my purpose with His purpose. I align my desires with His desires. And what He's been trying to do all year long is to increase. It was not, we learn by and be taught by the Holy Spirit. But when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, external circumstances often come in that force us to say, Holy Spirit, God, what is going on? He has been in trying to increase the sensitivity of Christians to perfectly position them in their destiny. Christianity is adventurous. Whenever it has become boring, this is what happened. You stopped listening to Holy Spirit and followed some external rules because of whatever reason. When you listen to Holy Spirit, it is never boring. I have never been bored in 47 years of following God. And that doesn't mean there's something great with me. It's because if you stay close to the Holy Spirit, He's constantly changing this and constantly changing that. And let me just read to you Revelation 21. Now, I'm going to maybe mess up your theology, but this is my opinion. You do with it as you want. The end times theology that has been taught in America has lulled Christianity and has been part of the problem of why we have been asleep. We think before it gets bad and before the good stuff happens, we're going to be raptured out of here. My opinion is that is not true. You cannot support that in the Bible. Because the good stuff that's coming, He's partnering with you to bring it into the earth. And whatever bad happens, He is strong enough, and the blood of Jesus is stronger than any antichrist that's out there. Nothing can touch you as you walk with the Holy Spirit. And He is setting us up for the greatest days on earth. This 168,000, that's the lowest number that's going around the earth, is radically changing nations, is radically changing political structures. Because I travel so much and I read so much, the church now outside of America is praying for the church in America. They do not want anything that we have, except maybe our money. They say, we pray for America. Other countries are sending missionaries to America. We may have a large percentage that goes to church, but we're not sensitive to Holy Spirit and whatever He says. And whatever He says, it may be with your family, it may be, now I'm talking maybe beyond this, okay? I think we're trying to do the best we can here, but I'm just sobering us up so that we know the position that we're in, that He can use us. But He is increasing sensitivity, not for sin. He does deal with sin. He'll come to you and say, I need you to deal with this. Why? So that I can increase my authority on your life. He deals with sin so that we can get our full inheritance. Because wherever there is in our life where we have not submitted to Him or just plain stubborn, that area of your life, the flow of God cannot flow through. And then when things get mucked up in that area of our life, we get mad at God. He's going, I've been speaking to you in this area. Submit to this area, and then my life flow can come back into those areas. He can flow in some wherever we let Him, and others He's trying to do it. And we think God is after us. We think God is trying to, He is not. He is trying to bring us into full identity. Let me read to you Revelation 21, verse 1. There's this passage at the end of Revelation, one chapter before Jesus Christ comes back. And it talks about a new Jerusalem coming down with a new heaven and a new earth. And it's 1,500 square miles wide and long and tall. And most of the teaching in America, and this is Craig's opinion, but I think it's biblical, and I'll show you. Most people think this is a physical city. It is not. The Bible is very, very clear on what it is. Let's read this, Revelation 21:1. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. This is John. Then in a vision I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of the heavenly realm from the presence of God. Like a pleasing, here you go, bride that had been prepared for her husband, adorned for her wedding. And I heard a thunderous voice from the throne saying, look, God's tabernacle is with human beings. And from now on, He will tabernacle with them as their God. Now God Himself will have His home with them. God with them will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and eliminate death entirely. No one will mourn or weep any longer. The pain of wounds will no longer exist, for the old order has ceased. And God enthroned spoke to me and said, consider this. I make it everything to be new and fresh. Write down at once all that I've told you, because each word is trustworthy and dependable. It's very clear. The city that is coming down came out of His presence, is the bride of Christ. It's symbolic. When He says in other parts of Scriptures that you're living stones, or you physically rocks, He is making each of us a living stone that knows how to live in His presence, like what we did this morning. And together, the stones are going to come together for a new city. And it's symbolic of a group of people who said, I am willing to be aligned with God. I do not live for my comfort anymore. I do not live for my convenience anymore. When He says something, I say yes. When He says go somewhere, I say go. See, in America, we have been so comfortable until this year. Many people have lost their jobs. Many people have died. Many people have grown sick. And it's caused us to go, our order is being upset. And He's saying, I'm trying to replace your order with my order. Because I'm inviting you to partner first with me in the greatest experience of my presence that you have ever seen. I have had more encounters with God in His presence this year than I have had probably in the 20 years before that put together. So He is first inviting us into His presence, and then out of that presence, He gives us assignments. But typical Christianity wants the assignments without the alignment and the presence. He is not giving people assignments anymore until He is in relationship with them, because He's saying no more pastors, no more bishops, no more Sunday school leaders. Will you get your identity from what you do? You will get your identity from who you are. And you don't find out who you are till you find out who you walk with. Very few Christians, like maybe 1% or 2%, really understand Christianity. They think it's about going here, going there, doing that. And then they get excited when things go well. And then they get depressed when their ministry doesn't go well or their family doesn't go well. He is bringing us to a place that our stability is not in our circumstances. It's in our identity, because we've been aligned. I am going to seek His face first. That's why for so many years we wouldn't let anybody minister here. We wouldn't let anybody worship on the team here until we knew they weren't doing it because they had to have it. Let me read to you. Turn over to Hebrews 3:16. And this comes from alignment. Well, how do I align? It's simply this. Listen every day and ask this question. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want to do through me today? And if He doesn't say anything, then this is your default behavior. Holy Spirit, I just get to be with you. I am going to become friends with you. I'm provoked by Enoch, who lived over 900 years. He was taken home early. He never experienced a physical death. Why? It's not because of what he did. When you look through Scriptures, Enoch was the, all I can find is that he prophesied, and it talks about him prophesying some things in Hebrews. Now, I've never prophesied like him, but I've prophesied a bunch, and I'm not at home with Jesus in heaven. It says that he took him home because he was a friend with God, and God wanted to hang out with him more. I'm provoked by that. I am going to hang out with him more. And when you hang out and seek after him, he naturally starts aligning. You don't even have to try to be aligned. Seek him. And then listen and follow him, and he'll align you. And the major reason is because your major inheritance is not to do stuff on the earth. We will. We get to that with the assignment. But your major inheritance is him. So many Christians are still, after 20 years of following God, what's my purpose? How do I hear God? We have failed as a church if very quickly we can't teach people how to hear from God and what their purpose is. Sometime I probably need to come back on how to find out their purpose. But your major purpose is to get into his presence, and then if he wants you to do something, fine. If not, you just hang out with him. And right now, we'll get to Hebrews 3:16 in here in a minute. This isn't to you, it's just Craig. I'm called to some degree to other bodies here in this area and in nations. But the church in America, I am extremely concerned about. It's God's hands. I don't have authority over it, but I do feel his heart. In the last 2 to 3 weeks, I felt that the evangelical church is starting to wake up. One of the worst, we all have a person that we want to see elected, and it doesn't matter who that is. But one of the worst things that could happen to the evangelical church, right now they're actually split about 50-50 between the two candidates, so it works great for this example. Is whoever they want elected gets elected. And they lose the lesson of 2020. And they put, all right, my comfort, my direction, my desires, my agenda is safely now in this person. I'm telling you, if we do that as a person and as a church, there will be significant portions of the church that will not participate in the next move of God. They may still come to church. They may ease their conscience, but they have missed it. I'm telling you, in the next several years, church as we've seen will not be the same. There will always be the same church, but there is a subset that's growing that do not care how long they're at church. Because they've been there for 2 hours and it's felt like 2 minutes. It was good worship this morning. We're exactly where we need to be. But I'm looking forward to the day where you notice I didn't put the clock back up when we repainted the wall. I'm looking forward to the day where we've been here 2 or 3 hours and it feels like 2 or 3 minutes because there's been healings and encounters and God's presence here. And that's our major calling. And our major desire here is to open the door and say, Father, we want you more than anything. And that group of people, he is aligning and changing their life. And I'm telling you, it will be the most adventurous rest of your life that you've ever seen. He will do miracles through you. He will do salvations through you. And you know, those things I don't even care about anymore. I want to see people healed because I want them to be pain-free. And it shows to them there's a good God. But I want more than anything God to come in and speak to people, to their souls, and just heal their souls, the trauma, the abuse, and speak to their spirits and call them forth. Hebrews 3:16. Here again out of the Passion Translation. I've been reading that a lot lately. 3:16. This is about the Israelites, who were in the desert. Remember, they saw 10 great plagues and 10 great miracles, opposite of the plagues. You get my point. And they were delivered out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They never made it to the promised land. There is no guarantee if we don't keep pushing in that you'll make the promised land. What's pushing in? Holy Spirit, I just want to be with you. What are you saying? I am not satisfied with external things. I'm not satisfied with convenience and comfort. See, the Israelites did not make it in. They saw signs. Just because you see signs doesn't mean you keep pushing in. They got comfortable. They were never sick. Their clothes never wore out. And they had food every day. I don't know what it tasted like, but they had food every day. I can't imagine it being real bad because it came from heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? Has anybody ever tasted manna in the Spirit? I've never heard anybody ever say that. That'd be fascinating. I bet you there's somebody on the planet who's done that. But I digress. No, I don't. That was good. And so, but they got comfortable and convenient and would not rightly align and deal with the soul issues enough to get them into the promised land, which was even better. Yes, they had some wars. Yes, they had some fights. When you get rightly aligned, when you start following the Holy Spirit and get rightly aligned, and He starts right, that does not mean there's no war. That is a falsehood that somewhere the charismatic word of faith brought in. You war. The difference is He's the senior warrior. And you will win. And you'll see victories that if you stayed in the Israelite desert that you would not have had otherwise. Here we go again. Let's try it for a third time. Hebrews 3:16. The same people who are delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. Let me tell you, this is where the American church is at. And hopefully none of us are here. And if the fault comes in this week, we're going to deal with it. When God calls us to press in further into our inheritance and our identity, and we say, no, this is good enough. It is rebellion and it's sin. There is no other way around it. These guys weren't committing fornication and killing people in the desert and in all the other Ten Commandments. They just said, no, I'm going to stay here. Now do you see the plague that we're in the American church? Let me go, get my 17 minutes of worship, 30 minutes of music, and I'm good for the week. I've been soothed enough in my soul to cover over the trauma, but I've not really dealt with the trauma because the trauma can only be dealt with the Word of God that's sharper than two-edged swords that pushes into His presence, counseling, whatever, and say, I'm going to deal with this and no longer cover it up. Where the American church as a whole is the same place these guys were in the desert. By and large, we've been comfortable till this year. By and large, we've been food met till this year. I know it's been hard on people that have lost their jobs, but it has changed. And hopefully He is awakening the church to realize, is this the extent of my calling? I died on the cross for this. And so during the week, pay whatever price it takes, I'm going to pursue God. And He's going to align me. Verse 17, they grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief. They were not sinning like, well, all the stuff I talked about before, killing, murdering, whatever, sexual perversions. They were sinning because they refused to move into their full potential, which was the promised land. Hold on, my voice. Man, I haven't talked this much in 6 weeks. No, I think this will make it, but thank you. They grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief until they dropped dead in the desert. But there was a small group after 40 years that remained faithful. I like to think that we're that small group, along with other small groups, to say, you know, there is a promised land, and I'm going to keep being faithful in it. And if we do that, every prophetic word that has ever been spoken over you, every dream that you've ever had, every vision you've ever had, everything God's put in your heart, I'm telling you, you will not die till it happens. That's just the way it is. You will not die until you see it. And there was a small group that kept believing, but they were being held back by the bigger thing. And they eventually got over in the promised land. We're going to eventually, everything God's promised you with these assignments, I mean, they had to fight for it, but he was with them. Nobody died when they did these fights. Have you ever thought about this? They went up against powerful enemies. You've heard about all the stories. There was 39 settlements they had to go with. The first one was Jericho, the big high walls. The walls were so thick it said, what did it say, two or three chariots could go around on top, side by side. They did all these battles. And except for those few areas like Achan and people that sinned, nobody ever died in those things. But they did have to fight. And we'll talk more about that as we get over into the assignment thing. So God, 18, so God swore an oath that they would never, now this is serious. I'm applying this to the American church today. Maybe I've gone too far with it. So God swore an oath that they would never enter into his calming place of rest. All because they disobeyed him. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. Do you need to go? Feel free. Oh, I thought you were okay. To work. Do you have to work today? No, you're off today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, do you see the seriousness of this? God was blessing them. Their clothes never wore out. They never got sick, et cetera, et cetera. But they did not have his rest in their spirit. I'm telling you, I'm willing to give up. Well, no, I'm not willing to give up healing. But you get my point. I'm willing for my clothes to wear out. I'm willing for the external blessings, whatever. But when you have his rest, you have everything. And we're today here, I know where I'm speaking to the choir, as they say, we're pursuing God, and I'm here to tell you, keep pursuing him. Out of that, you will find your identity. You can never find, never, listen to me, never find your identity in what you do first. It's who you are with. Which means you have to be in his presence, which means you have to carve out a time. He will get you to do stuff, but it's different. When I get my identity from doing, I'm thinking I'm doing most of it and most of the responsibility falls on me. But when you do it with your Father, who is the senior partner, who's the lead, when you get to, you go, okay, what do you want to do today? All right, let's jump in and do it. He leads, and when it gets hard, he gives you energy. He says, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. When something's become hard and you know it's something's not right, you go, okay, Father, where did I miss this thing at? Because he is wanting to give you the inheritance, which is first him, and then he wants to give you an inheritance of blessings here on the earth when we rightly align with him. The challenge is to believe who he says we are. And we could talk a long time about this, but I'm not going to do it today. Most of us, Christianity is so warped in America anyway. We start Christianity from a perspective of being sin conscious instead of God conscious. What do you mean by that? When I think of Christianity, or you tell somebody about God, what is the first thing that comes out of their mouth? Oh, I haven't been doing this right. I haven't been doing that right. Or I haven't been to church in a long time. That is failure conscious. That is sin conscious. It's what do I have to do to get to move forward? Well, who wants that kind of Christianity? That is drudgery. That is no fun. That is trying to accomplish something you simply will never accomplish, no matter how hard you try. And if you do, you become self-righteous. The opposite is as we show the love of God to people, and they see the peace inside of you and they see the rest inside of you, they want that. And you say, you know, you can have that. Ask Jesus into your heart and spend time with him and you'll experience his peace and rest. Well, what about this other stuff? He'll deal with it in time. But he wants to love on you first. We are so warped. I take Abigail over here. I don't know where Israel is today. Grace is in her class. He went camping on the Ocoee River last night. Who knows where he is? And so when she, you know, we called her Abigail, which means my father's joy, and she's been she is that. But when she was born, And the first time she poops and gets her diaper dirty, if I was the normal Christian, I would hit him upside the head. You need to go to the altar again. How dare you poop? You get my picture. I'm happy to clean up her poops. Well, most of the time. And I'm happy to do that because it's a normal part of the devil. I'm happy to show her love and walk her through these things. And eventually she can change herself. And this week she did total her car. But did I get mad at you? I just said, no, we're going to get through it. She didn't do it on purpose. If she did, I would get mad at her. But she didn't. She's got bruises all over her body where the airbags hit. But you see the difference? Now, I want her to eventually change her own diapers. And Lord willing, no more totals of cars. But these things happen. One is approaching from the Father's love instead of this warped Christianity. How dare you? Half of the preaching in this county, I don't know half, maybe not that much. It is this nonsense, just nonsense, about calling up every sin that you have ever done and calling them up and dealing with it. That is beating the sheep instead of leading the sheep. And it's changing. Now, when I push you to listen to the Holy Spirit and talk to the Father, He deals with these things. We need to deal with unbelief. We need to deal with convenience. We need to deal with sexual perversity. We need to deal with these things. But if you don't do it from a place of relationship with Him, you're doing it on your own. And it doesn't last very long. Okay? Take some sin you've struggled with. Just take some sin I've struggled with, you've struggled with. Okay, we're not going to do that this week. And if you're really rested up and you're psyched up, maybe you get a couple, 3 weeks into it and you've been gutting it out. But you don't feel free from it, do you? And so as you go to the Father and say, Father, I am really struggling with X, Y, Z. I need your help. And then the next time you're tempted with that, you run to the Father and say, Father, here it comes. Give me your whatever fruit you need, patience, self-control, whatever it is, and help me through it. It is much more successful coming from the Father's love. And I'm just here to tell you, He is coming back for a perfect bride, and I'm going to do my best to be there. Amen? And I can't do it on my own, but I run to the Lord and say, I want to be like that bride in Revelation 21. I guess I need to end. Got the preach on me today, which is good. Many times we go, why is it just so important that I do what I need to do? I'm telling you cannot overestimate what one person can do. Whether you're an intercessor, whatever your calling is, a mother, a father, you cannot overemphasize that when you say, I am going to move into all of the Lord, and I'm not going to grieve Him by saying, I am happy here. I'm going into the full potential that He has. What does that mean? How do we do that? That means this week, you stay sensitive to Holy Spirit. And whatever He does, you say, that sounds really hard. If you'll help me, I'll do it. Or He puts His finger on a trauma or regret that's in your soul that you've been covering up forever. And you go, I really don't want to go there. Regrets are a big one. Maybe we'll talk about that some. Not today. See, where we've regretted for whatever reason, we need God to let God touch it and go there instead of running from it. Because where that regret is, it's a potential source of strength to others. As we get victory over it and the pain leaves, the fact's still there. He can use us to free so many other people. We cannot underestimate what one person can do to shake the darkness around us. I'm going to close with this. I've said it once before, but I'm going to say it again. There is an ascension of the Holy Spirit rising in the American church. It's a small subset, but it is rising, and I'm feeling it, and I'm seeing it. Why? Not that I'm any great person, but when I recognize what He's doing in my life and people's lives around us. So we take hope in that. You take hope in that. There's an ascension rising. There's a boldness rising. How many of you can feel it? There's a peace rising. That means you're going in the right direction because His rest has not left you. And it's getting stronger. And no matter what the evangelical church does, there will be some subset that will stay there. They're happy where they are, but they will grieve. They will not lose their salvation, but they will grieve God in their unbelief. Because He created us to walk with Him. He created us to be creators like Him. That's why there's so much war today. No matter what's going on in the political realm, you back up, the bigger picture is darkness and light. Will the evangelical church wake up to the potential that's inside of them? But I'm telling you, the ascension is rising. Can anybody else sense it? I mean, you recognize it. And there is a, it's a good thing. It's not driving us, it's leading us and going, I want to be a part of this. Amy Coney Barrett, no matter what you think about her one way or another, I'm not here to discuss that. But she is a prophetic type of conservative Christian women that are rising up in this country. Evangelical Christianity needs women. Amen. And most churches have locked them out except show up and teach Sunday school to the little kids and do specials and music. God's church, He's not doing that anymore. He's tired of it. He's sick of it. And where we allow women to move, which we do here, we don't put them higher than men. We put them on the same level, walking together. We often talk about women because they're under talked about. But I'm telling you, there is a group, conservative Christian women arising across this country who hear God. And we need them. There are some demonic spirits that they're anointed to take out much faster than men can. I'm not saying we can't do it because Galatians 3:29 says there's neither male nor female, slave or free, Greek or Gentile or Jew. I don't know how it all works, but I have seen personally, I know I'm going to make a doctrine out of it, where there is the spirit of witchcraft and there's the spirit of Jezebels, women that are full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word, dispel them much faster than most men do. And what has happened in this country, and it's evidenced by the sexual sin that is off the scale, and it's evidenced by the witchcraft that's off the scale and is open now, is witchcraft has risen to a whole, I'm talking occult, okay, has gone to a whole new scale in this country, and they're open. I mean, when no matter what you think of Trump, when he said he got sick, hundreds of witches across the country rose up and publicly asked him, demanded that he die and demanded that he be killed. That is just demonic, whether you like him or not. Because the Bible says, pray for those that are in government. I prayed for Obama. I prayed for other liberal presidents, and then I didn't like it, but I did it. And so it's to call up. But you know, there was equal amount of Christians on the other side. And it's ultimately to God, and you know. But when you see that, He is raising up Christian women on a local level, maybe a national level, that where there is witchcraft and there's Jezebels in the church, He needs women. There's just a special anointing. I don't know why. I'm not going to make a doctrine about it, but He needs women to arise full of the Holy Spirit, full of His Word, because I'm telling you, the light is getting stronger. Y'all sense that? Amen. Let's stand. Let me pray with you guys. I appreciate it, man. So that was alignment. We'll, Lord will, unless he change, we'll talk through this. I tell you what, I'm excited about what he's doing with Christianity. It is a war. I mean, I've been through a war. Mike Thompson's still in a war. Some of you have been sick and in wars. All I can tell you this is I don't understand everything. I don't believe the sickness came from God. You've heard my testimony last week on it. But this I know. What you war over and you live through, you are stronger. Okay? You become more seasoned. You become wiser. And you walk in a greater level of authority because you have, like I said last week, I didn't think I was ever scared of death, and I found out that I wasn't. We didn't record it last week, but going through that at a deeper level, I can't imagine ever being intimidated by spirit of death again. Because when you have faced it and felt it, and he didn't win, it gives you a level of peace, calmness, and authority that you just, all right, been there and done that. We're not doing that anymore. Amen. I'm done.
I have something that confirms something Craig just said. Whatever you win in battle is yours.
You can sit down. I don't know how.
Seriously, it won't be long. But I, as Craig was teaching, the Lord said to me, be prepared that, be prepared for the second half of your life. And he, I even hesitated to say it, but he said, no, you say this amount. Be prepared for 10 times the fruit.
Praise God.
In the second half of your life.
See, mostly, let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
In the big picture, and if y'all need to go, I know we're going longer than normal, be free. Almost everything we have done, Relationship Church, for 25 years this year. Almost everything, especially the last 10 years, since we dealt with a Jezebel spirit in this place, has been sowing. And I realize it. I mean, you can tell by the numbers. We've got good fruit, but it's not a whole lot. In the region, do you realize I sowed for 20 years before you even start seeing the little bit that we're seeing now? I'm excited about the little bit, but it's not a whole lot. But I'm telling you, the amount that we sow.
Right. That God's law. He did say this to me yesterday. I just kind of flippantly shared it with Lois. It's dominion by multiplication, not force. Dominion by multiplication, not force. Craig makes me a disciple. I make another disciple. And she or he makes another disciple. That's dominion, God's way. The word he gave me while you were teaching, I said, you say 10 times the fruit.
Praise God.
It's the law. It's the kingdom law. If you've cast your seed in good soil and you've cared for it, because I've seen people throw good seed into bad situations and nothing yields, right? Multiplication. It will know it's fruitful by the way it will multiply rapidly. And it's starting in this new year. 10 times the fruit is the word I got.
Praise God.
You go ahead and pray.
Great. I am going to pause if anybody else says anything before we cut out of here. Even though I was making observations, I hope you're encouraged by the whole thing. That you're not alone. You're on the right path. Several of us, I'm sure, probably every one of us, know people that are in the wilderness, but they're refusing, they're still walking in unbelief, which means not that God's not saved, that they're not saved, but for their potential. Just keep praying for them. Tell you what, he'll just keep praying for them. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for every one of us here. And we hear the soberness of the word because we know what you're wanting to do. And we just say we're with you the best we know how. And those that are around us that are satisfied in something less than their full inheritance, we pray for radical salvations. Just name them. We pray for radical encounters that you set their lives on, that they see the eternal and they can never turn away again. And Father, we just love every person wherever they're at, and we bless them wherever they can be blessed in every way. And Father, I just pray today that my sensitivity, and each of us pray this, my sensitivity to the Holy Spirit increase this week to even more. And my pleasure in you increases anymore. As that bride looks into their bridegroom at the bride day, and they're just encompassed with the other person, that's how we want to be. And we're not thinking at the altar, oh man, we got to buy a house, we got to mow the grass, we got to paint the house, we got to clean it. We're not consumed with any of that. And Father, turn us to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.